I'm Keegan.
And I'm Madigan.
And you're listening to
Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist.
I don't even know whose turn it is to say this.
I don't either, because I'm just trying to keep my shit together.
Keegan. Yeah, I know. I know, me too.
I think it's my turn.
Okay, yeah,
This is a podcast. I mean, this is a podcast, guys. You're listening to a podcast.
I hope you know that. You opened the podcast app or whatever.
And we're here to talk about feminism, or from feminism, we're here to talk about the world through our own personal feminist perspectives. With that being said, we are not experts. We haven't gotten any degrees in this kind of stuff. These are things that Keegan and I are both very passionate about and love to talk about and want to have a place to chat with a wonderful group of people.
That's right. And that would be you all. So we are having audio issues, if you can't tell. We have just spent the last, like, hour trying to figure out what is going on.
And I have about an hour to record
for work. Yeah, so we are going
to hammer this out right now.
So today, we went to the March for Our Lives event in L.A.
Fantastic.
It was fantastic. We can chat a little bit more about that before we wrap up.
Mm-hmm.
But do you, Madigan, want to get started on today's topic?
Yeah, we're going to talk about the fourth wave.
Yeah.
Final wave.
I mean, we're living it.
Well, hopefully not the final wave, like,
current wave. The current
final wave that we are in.
Present wave.
Presently wave.
Dude, I'm actually kind of pissed off that we spent that much time doing that.
And right? Are you fucking kidding me?
Like, and my hot toddy is, like, lukewarm right now.
It's a lukewarm toddy.
Yeah, it's just like a slap in the face.
Honestly. Slap in the face toddy.
Well,
I've already gone through definitely a full glass of wine.
Yeah. It's been a day.
It's been a long day. Dude, my fucking dog was sick. I had to take her to the vet. That cut into our recording time.
Yeah, it's been an interesting one.
Guys, life.
But we are going to probably not do as long an episode or as, like, in-depth as we have done, just because, I mean, we're all here, we're all living it. And the fourth wave, while it has some markers that make it very unique from the third wave, it is also similar to the third wave in a lot of ways.
And it's all things, too, that, you know, are things that you all are experiencing right now, which I think is part of the fun thing, that you can listen to this and fully appreciate what we're talking about because you're experiencing it along with us at the same time.
Yeah.
So let's dig in, shall we? Yeah.
So what I have here, or, like, what I found whenever I was doing, like, a little bit of research about it, and not that I really need to dive in.
That's the thing, is, like, this is probably the least amount of research I've ever done.
I actually did a lot. I read a lot of articles on the fourth wave, you know, but
well,
of course
that makes one of us.
Of course it's also, like, just, you know, life-based.
Yeah.
But I think most notable, what sets apart the fourth wave and all other waves before it would be social media.
Yep.
I'd say it's social media feminism.
Yep, definitely.
And not in a bad way, you
know?
Nope,
but a lot of people like to say it is.
Yeah, but why would it be? Because it's bringing... I mean,
well,
honestly,
you know, the thing is, and there was a sign today at the march, too, that said, like, don't just tweet about it, do something about it. And I think that's a lot of people's criticism about it.
Right, the hashtag activism.
Right, and then they feel like they've done that, so they don't really have to do anything else. And I've totally fallen victim of things like that in the past, where I've had to really be like, no, this isn't the only thing that I should be doing.
All right, like,
doing more.
You shared that article, so you've done your good deed for the day or whatever.
Right, which, while I do think it's good to share those articles on Facebook, or to retweet things, or to use hashtags on Instagram, because that's your audience. That's your viewership of people who you can affect in one way or another, whether or not that changes who they are or not, or their viewpoints. They've still read it or they've still seen it, and that's progress.
Yeah, I think it's really important for visibility that we do that. That's for sure. But, I mean, as we talked about in the Women's March episode, it is so much more than just showing up because something is Instagram worthy or Facebook worthy and you want to say, like, hashtag Women's March 2018. You know, like, you actually need to affect change in other ways. But I also think that social media has made it so much easier to communicate information, like how to contact your representative, stuff that you probably, like, couldn't figure out before.
Yeah, that you wouldn't even think of.
Yeah,
you know.
And you could figure out, but it would have been a lot more difficult to do so.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's one of those things where it's like, even if you're not meaning for things to reach you and affect you, they still do. Like, you're still seeing it, mm-hmm. and there's some, through osmosis or something, you're, like, still receiving that information. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, and you are receiving information that you probably wouldn't be receiving in your day-to-day life. Like, not everybody has a trans friend, or not everybody has a friend that's an immigrant, you know, and so your eyes might not be open to these issues or things that they
go through. And why would you search it out if you don't even know what you're looking for?
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think that it's as present, or you can't close your eyes to something that is in your face, you know, all of the time.
You can't ignore it.
Yeah. So I think that social media, for me, in my journey as, like, a feminist and as a person, has actually been super, super helpful for me.
Definitely.
So it's a tool. It's a tool. Like, you definitely need to do other things. You need to be active in action in other ways, but it is also a great tool.
And your Wikipedia gal, Madigan, is here to give you a little snippet from Wiki here. It says, issues that the fourth wave feminists focus on include street and workplace harassment, campus sexual assault and rape culture. Scandals involving the harassment, abuse, and murder of women and girls have galvanized the movement. That was a word I was scared to say just now. Holy shit. These have included the 2012 Delhi gang rape. I'm probably saying that wrong. My apologies.
Delhi?
Okay, Delhi gang rape. Thank you, Keegan. 2012 Jimmy Savile allegations. Again,
Savile. Jimmy Savile,
oh my God, my life. Bill Cosby, I can say that name. Allegations. 2014, again, Ella Vista killings.
Oh, I don't know that one.
2016 trial of Gian Gomeshi, 2017 Harvey Weinstein allegations, and the subsequent Weinstein effect, which is, I love that we're calling it that.
The Weinstein effect,
And the 2017 Westminster sexual scandals.
Yeah, so it's basically being like, we're going to call you on your shit.
Yeah, like, it's definitely a very, like, I don't want to say it's more aggressive than the other waves have been necessarily, but I feel like this is the time where during the other waves, we were focused on so many things. And we talked about in the third wave, how there was such a broad spectrum of things that we were focusing on, where I feel like, especially within the last 6 months, sexual violence and now gun violence has become really a feminist main focus. And I think sexual violence, especially for a longer period of time, has been something that we are calling out and saying, no, this is it. We're done talking about this. We're done arguing it. Things need to change now.
And I think also, I mean, probably as a result, once again, of social media and things like that, I think it's also a hallmark of the fourth wave is immediacy.
Yes.
So you have the power now, as soon as something happens, to go straight to Twitter. Like, I mean, we saw it with the Golden Globes, you know, after whenever James Franco wore his Time's Up pin.
Yep.
And immediately, she didn't have to find a news outlet. She didn't have to contact
anybody. She got on
anybody.
Twitter and they immediately found
her. She got on Twitter and immediately was like, you're given the voice in social media to be your own advocate.
Exactly.
You know, so I think and then it spreads like wildfire.
Yeah, look at Emma Gonzalez. Oh my God, she is, like, my celebrity crush. My God. Like, she...
Yeah, I saw her today.
Went...
Amazing.
Huge. Yeah. Oh my gosh. She, like, went from being a Florida student person that, you know, her friends knew and her community probably was aware of, to, like, nationally, probably in some ways, globally known.
Right. Well, and not to say that that wouldn't have happened before the internet, because, you know, we did have
that video of her, her speech went viral.
Yeah, like, we had a 24-hour news cycle before, but it wasn't the same as
being... You couldn't share it and show everybody you know.
Yeah, you couldn't watch it 50 times every second across the globe, you know? So... I think that that's a huge part of it. I think that part of it. Madigan's pouring wine.
Shut up.
No, I love it, dude.
I'm like, fuck, I can't get drunk before I go to work.
It's been a day.
It's been a fucking day, guys. Over it.
So I think that that whole thing with social media is going to come up. I don't know that we need to say it every single time, but it is, whether we say it or not, it plays into every other part of what has made the fourth wave the fourth wave.
Isn't that fantastic, though? Just thinking about how my life has changed through social media for the better. I personally have never experienced any real cyberbullying, because I was kind of old enough to be like, that doesn't affect me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think you and I were kind of, because we spent our early childhoods with no social media. We're right. in a very weird, like, basket mm-hmm. of, like, having spent part of our childhoods.
Yeah,
our,
and then, like, high school being obsessed with MySpace.
Yeah, yeah.
I learned some serious coding.
I did too. Isn't that funny?
I was fucking good.
And then we threw it all away.
Well, I'm like, now I don't fucking know.
Yeah,
what
we
that
threw
is.
It all away for Facebook.
But I just think of the. I never would have learned a lot of the things that I know if it wasn't for social media.
It gives you the freedom to teach and the internet in general. Like,
yeah.
Google it. You know, like, it gives you the freedom to teach yourself,
yeah.
to educate yourself without yeah. having to be a burden on marginalized groups to make yeah. them educate you about their oppression. You can now do your own homework.
Yeah.
I was
listening to this podcast, it's not a new podcast. New podcast to me called True Crime Obsessed, and I'm mm-hmm. like, I'm obsessed with it. I fucking love it. Shout out to them. And they were talking about. I was listening to. Fuck, what's it called? The woman that was never there.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. The woman who wasn't there.
Thank you. And they're talking about the woman who claims to be a 9/11 survivor and wasn't, and it was this whole thing or whatever. And they were talking about
very
how,
good
like,
documentary. You should watch it if you haven't seen.
I want to see it now. That's what's great about it. You listen to it and you're like, oh my god, I need to watch that documentary. But they kind of give you like a step inside of it, and then you can go watch it for yourself and be like, oh my god, totally what
yeah,
they said.
Definitely should.
So good. And so I was just amazed because they were talking about, this was like the early 2000s when this woman like made it big, but like nobody, like Googling things mm-hmm. wasn't as much of like a
oh,
thing.
Oh yeah, today you could disprove something like that so quickly.
Oh yeah, well there was this guy who was like, this is weird, and was able to like dig and find information about her that could prove that she wasn't there. Mm-hmm. But he just kind of kept his mouth shut because if he had said anything, then people would be like, no, like, how dare you, like, say that this
Well, I mean, and
like,
that is actually something that we still see even with the internet, like,
right.
with people being like, I have cancer, and people being like, I know,
well,
especially
catfish. Like,
well, yeah, people are catfished all the time. It's
yeah.
still difficult, but, I mean, you can
But you
watch
can fact check a
yeah,
little bit
you
more.
Can watch the show Catfish, and, like, now everybody knows, like, oh, you can reverse image search that if
Definitely.
You have questions about that or
Definitely.
Whatever.
Definitely, yeah, and you can Google somebody's name and learn so much about them.
Totally.
You know, it doesn't take that much. And that's what's great, is that you can see one video, put in that person's name in Google, and you can, you know, like, if I saw the Emma Gonzalez video and I'm like, mm-hmm. I fucking love this girl, put her name in, see all the
Find
parts
her on Instagram, follow her on Instagram.
Yeah,
and
I just requested to follow her mm-hmm. on Instagram.
So, yeah, I think that can be said, that this is going to permeate, this is something that's going to permeate throughout every single,
yeah.
You know, issue or,
yeah.
or hallmark of the fourth wave.
And so many freaking baby boomers are like, social media,
meh. Well, okay, with that said, while I don't think that I was ever cyberbullied, not really, I got into, like, AOL chat room fights and
right.
stuff like that, but I don't think I was ever cyberbullied. I do understand the negative effects of social media,
oh,
and
definitely.
I think we could have an entire episode about Instagram in particular, and how having this like Instagram perfect life is
yeah.
unattainable
oh, no.
and
that
bad for your mental
me
health.
Nuts.
And I think that there's a lot about social media that it isn't good,
right? But I don't like who it's coming from, because it's the people that it's coming from that are like my
they
parents'
have no idea.
Friends,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. They want to show, like, I honestly feel like there's more competition with baby boomers on social media than there is with people our age.
Well, I think it's person to person. I also think that, like, the older generation doesn't know how to work it the same way. So they're
True.
Not, like, they're not sharing
but,
things in the same way.
But yet, I'm like, I go on Facebook and I see this girl post something and her boyfriend post a comment. And I'm like, ooh, shit, they're breaking up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I
think it's person to person, though, because I do know a lot of people, like, young people our age who try to make their lives look as perfect
no,
as possible.
No, definitely.
You know?
I'm not saying that young people don't do that. I think
that's... Well, I think that that's what it is. I think that that's what it's for in a lot of ways. It's like a
yeah.
highlight reel. Like, you mostly share... I do try to be honest and transparent if I'm going through a depressive episode. I have in the past made posts that are like, look, I'm fine, but I want you all to know, like, I'm okay. This is part of who I am. Like,
yeah.
my mental health is not always 100%,
mm-hmm.
and I want to be transparent about
and
that.
And that's what's healthy, and that's what we need to see more of, because that's what makes social media beautiful.
Yeah.
Is being able to see somebody a friend of yours even that you feel like you know so well, you see something and you learn more about them and you're like, oh my gosh, I did not know I could relate to this person.
Well, that's what makes them human, you know? If you only share the good things, I mean, I'm not saying get on and vent and overshare and there's a line with that too where I'm just like, that's not healthy either.
Yeah.
You know, but also just be honest. Like if you share things and you're like, my life looks perfect all the time, no one's life is perfect all the time. Anyway, we could have an entire and probably should have a whole episode about just social media and its effect on our generation.
Agreed.
But getting back to the fourth wave.
Let's do it.
Another hallmark of the fourth wave is, and this is something, while, you know, I have a great love for third wave feminism, a lot of people, there was a big complaint during the third wave that the third wave relied a lot on misandry, which is the opposite of misogyny, which is basically hating men.
Yeah.
You know, and being really hateful towards men. And true or false, that was the kind of, like, stereotype of the third wave feminist.
Uh-huh.
And,
which I think carried over for a lot of people.
I think that's why people thought that feminism was such a dirty word.
Yeah.
But in the fourth wave, what you see is kind of doing away with misandry or the idea of misandry and really trying to include men in the feminist movement.
Yeah, you know, the whole, like, let boys cry for me is a big, like, phrase that pops into my
and
head.
And totally realizing that feminism is for everyone. It's for men. It's for women. And we saw in the fourth wave a lot of men identifying themselves as feminists.
Well, the fourth wave brought us He for She, which is what Emma Watson started. And I worked for a woman who is one of the members of He for She. And she was like, oh, I got pins. Here's a pin. And I wore it home, and Chris was like, what's that? And I told him, I was like, oh, it's a He for She pin. He goes, I'm a He for She.
Yeah,
I totally... Why don't I have that pin? And so that gave him a platform to start learning, how can I better support not only the women in my life, but women in general? How can I be an ally?
Yeah, yeah. That, and you know, you're going to see also this theme of allyship totally, like, come into its own in the fourth wave.
Well, and another big thing with the fourth wave was the acknowledgement of ableism.
Ableism, ageism.
Yep.
You know, I think all of these things, and again, I think it's social media visibility has allowed us to, like, oh, it's not just men and women, or it's not just black and white, or it's not just gay or straight.
It touches so many alleys.
Everyone has their own, like, they could be a lesbian who's a woman who's 55 and is facing age discrimination, and she's black and she's facing race discrimination, and she's, you know, gender fluid and she's facing discrimination in that way. We realized the complexity of human beings. I think so much more. We do realize that now so much more than we have in the past. So I think that, and, you know, I think that that really kind of hits the nail on the head with what the fourth wave is. It's like, we have recognized, like, gender fluidity in a way that we never have before, and allowing people to kind of
be who they want to be.
Be who they want to be. And I think that that's
Or be who they are. I mean, not even who they want to be,
but
be
who
just
they are.
Who they authentically are.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, you know, oh my God, we have a long way to go. But I
of
think,
course.
But I think it's amazing. You know, I've never felt so empowered to be able to speak my mind and want to make a change. And I'm getting better and better at speaking up around my friends, and I'm getting better and better about, you know, just being more knowledgeable about different people's lives and questioning things rather than just blindly accepting them.
And
asking questions from people who are different than me, because, like, my only thing that I have, I'm a woman, but I'm white. You know what I mean? Like, I'm straight. I don't have a lot of the more complex issues that other people do. So for me, I like to find people in my life that I can ask questions to, where when I was younger, I was too scared to, because I didn't want to offend anybody. Where I like now that I have this, like, open communication. And that's why I loved our hair episode, because I was like, I'm just going to ask you things that I've always wanted to know, and then you can educate me.
Yeah. And I would love to, and I know that this is something that we plan on doing. Obviously, we need to figure out all of our audio issues, and and there's a lot that we have to figure out. Before we can have guests on the show, we've got a lot of things we can hash out. So I know we've gotten emails and requests to have guests on the show, and we
have them lined up.
Yeah, we want to. We just have things we have to figure out, but that's something that I really want to do, because I don't want to tackle issues that have to do with other races or
trans lives
or, you know, people in the LGBTQ
with a handicap
community without being able to talk to those people.
I agree.
Because I think that it's so important, when it doesn't involve you, to kind of shut up and listen.
Exactly.
And I was actually telling Bonnie, who Madigan and I went to the march with today, as a friend of mine. I was actually telling her when we were walking back to the car, I was like, it was a really interesting experience because while gun violence affects everyone, and mm-hmm. I think that we should definitely have marches that are like, you know, shooters go into movie theaters and they go into spaces where adults are all the time and mow down lots of adults. That's not what this march was about. This march was about the students. And so it was interesting for me because marches that I usually go to, I go to marches for women and I go to marches for Black Lives Matter and I do things like that. But those are both groups that I am in and I'm centered around.
Oh yeah. This was purely us having to acknowledge that we need to take the back seat.
Yeah. Here. We need to shut up, listen to these students.
Uh-huh. Talk. And how fucking amazing
and powerful.
Oh my God.
It was honestly, it was such a great experience to just be able to be like, really, this isn't about me right now.
Yeah.
You know, and I can just sit back and listen to you tell me why you're afraid.
Uh-huh.
You know, because it's not as if we didn't grow up with the same culture. My school did go on lockdown.
Yep. Same. We had lockdown drills.
Yeah. Well, I didn't have a drill. Like, they thought that there was a bomb in my school.
Oh,
we had
really?
A lockdown.
Oh,
yeah.
No. We had lockdown drills because there was, the middle school, there was a bomb threat. My school was weird. But all through high school, we had lockdown drills.
Right. So, I mean, we grew up with it, but we didn't grow up with it the same way someone who was born in 1997 grew up with it because they literally, their entire lives are post-Columbine,
That woman who was kind of one of the organizers, one of the head people who was speaking, she was saying, I'm 19, I was born a month before the Columbine shootings.
Right.
And
so literally your whole life is
post-mass
shooting culture.
Around that at school. Yeah. And how sad is it? But also, like, look at what we've generated, these strong, amazing people. And, I mean, we're kind of talking about the march a little bit right now.
Right, but actually, I would like to take this opportunity because I think that actually goes into the next part of fourth wave feminism that I think differentiates it from third wave.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the third wave, we kind of saw, not a pull away from, just less old school activism.
Definitely.
And the fourth wave has seen a resurgence of old school activism,
because
marches, protests, rallies.
Yes.
We're back.
Because we need human connection. I honestly think that's such the root of it, because like, I felt like I could turn to anyone there today, and especially when I was at the Trump walk, that was my first one.
Yeah.
And I just felt like I could turn to anyone and just be like, I feel you and 100% understand what you're feeling right now. And I've never really felt that way before, that amount of people that I was surrounded by really felt as strongly as I did about things.
Well, and everyone's heart was so ripped open right then that I think everyone was really willing to be super vulnerable with each other.
And even today, I felt very, like,
connected
to everybody, and so we all have something in common. It was interesting because it's like, you know, this isn't necessarily a strictly like liberal democratic thing. A lot of this is also people who may come from the Red Party or different things like that. Like, it was all different political backgrounds, and I was able to
This is California, so in general,
but it made me feel a sense of connection to the people that I wouldn't normally feel a connection to. Let's see. Well, what I love about what's been happening in the recent days, as I was kind of doing my research, I didn't know that what we were calling this whole sexual assault moment that we're having, they're calling it the Weinstein effect.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. Well, I've never heard it called that. I like that. I mostly usually hear it called, like, the Me Too moment.
Right. Well, they're saying that that's part of the Weinstein effect. So
well, I think Weinstein definitely kicked it off. I mean, I think that there's always a tipping point, right? Like, for like, sexual assault, it was Weinstein.
Mm-hmm.
For Black Lives Matter, it was Ferguson.
Yep.
For gun violence, it was Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. Like, there's always a tipping point. There's always
going to be that one moment.
Yeah, where we're just like, enough. We've had enough. And we need to do something now.
They're also referring to it as a global trend where people come forward to accuse famous and powerful men of sexual misconduct. Where I personally would say that it's more than that.
I wouldn't call it a trend. I don't like that.
Wikipedia.
Yeah, no, no, no. I know. I know what
no,
they're
doing. No, I know. I'm just saying. But I feel that it's also more than just the entertainment industry, that I feel that, you know, especially with the Me Too movement, which they say the subsequent Me Too movement encourages people to share their experiences of sexual harassment and assault. And the two events triggered a cascade of allegations that brought about swift removal of any man in positions of power in the United States, while tarnishing and ending political careers of additional men as it spread around the world. And it started, it has spread around the world. And I was learning more about the Westminster sexual scandals, and it's slowly growing into this big monster of a problem with such opportunity for solution that I love.
Yeah. I think it's interesting because I think while Weinstein is indisputably was the
biggest
tipping
piece
point.
Of shit.
Oh yeah. Oh. But I mean, but that whole scandal was absolutely like the tipping point of of people being feeling really free to say, yeah, like this guy in
and
this
to finally be heard and taken seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
Because people have tried this shit for years and not taken seriously. Where finally people are like, this is my moment where I need to say something.
Well, yeah, I mean that's exactly what I'm gonna say. And I think that the reason why part of the reason why people took this so seriously is because not a couple of years before we had Bill Cosby, where people were very hesitant, kind of tiptoed around it, didn't want to acknowledge it, admit it. They wanted to believe that it was not true. And then a couple of years after that, we saw the accusations against Donald Trump and grab her by the pussy and all of that. And people still kind of wanting to be like, these women are liars. And I think it was finally, when it got to Weinstein, people were just like, no more. Like, we can't let this
it's
happen
crazy.
Anymore.
It's like, I don't know what makes those tipping points, but I'm so glad that it finally happened.
Yeah, I think it's just a boiling up of the little things that happen, like, not little, but, you know, the things that happen like that.
Yeah.
And then the Women's March and women feeling really empowered and then being like, that's it.
Yeah, you know and that mean? Was how, what I was thinking today is I was like, my God, like, Keegan Sine today had all the lists of names from just the major shootings.
Well, I mean, yeah, I couldn't fit them all. So I put the lists, I put every person who died in Parkland, every person who died in Sandy Hook, every person who died in Virginia Tech, and every person who died in Columbine.
And this filled, like, it was like she took a poster board and cut it in half, but, like, wrote pretty small, and it filled it.
Yeah, I'll post
and wrote,
picture
never
on Instagram.
Forget. But it just made me think that it's like, there's been so many. How amazing is it that we finally hit a point where it's not just like we're upset for a few days on social media and then we're over it, but where it's finally like people have been like, no, done. We're not doing this anymore.
And
I refuse.
I think it's been building. I mean, I don't know what hits that tipping point as a nation. I don't know what makes us all
feel it
at the same time.
I think what was different this time is that the survivors were like, done.
Yeah.
Done
not
with this
today.
Bullshit and angry.
Well, and I think another part of it was not only were the survivors really done, but I think it was also that we've lost hope that anyone's going to do anything. Because I think that because the parents at Sandy Hook, they did try to organize for action afterwards, but I think we all were naive still and thinking, okay, 26-year-olds were shot and killed, and there's no way the government can ignore this. Something is going to happen.
Can you believe that things were still, like, not changed after Sandy Hook?
No, I mean,
that blows my mind.
Exactly that. And I think
these are fucking kindergartners, guys.
Exactly. And so I think with every mass shooting after that, and we still had this little bit of hope, like, okay, now they're going to do something. Okay, now they're going to do something.
Yeah.
I think when Parkland happened, I think collectively as a nation, we went, we know they're not going to do anything.
Yeah.
And that's it. We can't do
it
anymore.
And this is where being angry is like the best, most beautiful thing in the world.
It's motivation.
It is.
You know, you and I saw, because, you know, we went and we saw speakers here in LA. And then when I came home, I was like taking a nap and I heard Emma Gonzalez on C-SPAN. So I like woke up to watch her. And what you can see in her is, of course, devastation, of course, trauma, but more than anything else, what you see is anger.
Yep.
Like, she's pissed.
Yep.
And, like, that is what's motivating her to do what she's doing, because sometimes I think anger can be the best motivator for change if you allow it to be. It can be a good propellant to do something important.
You know, don't take your anger and keep it in a little shell inside of you and be like, I'm just going to be angry and bitter.
Don't let it push you the other direction, because it absolutely can.
It can. It definitely can. I think that I try to use those negative feelings as motivation as much as I can. Mm-hmm. I refuse to be defeated, because I know that it doesn't end with me.
Right.
It will continue to go on. And I just want to touch briefly, Keegan has heard me talk about this little boy all day. The little kid that I nanny for. My God.
Precious.
This boy. Mm-hmm. I just, last night, like, I almost started crying. He came with me to get my poster board and markers, and I was working on the poster while he was watching a movie, and he's just the smartest fucking kid. He's mm-hmm. so smart. And he's like, what are you writing? And one side of my sign said crazy left-wing millennial. And he's like, I don't know what any of that means, except for crazy. So I kind of explained to him in the best way I could. And then on the other side, I had written, guns are not healthy for children and other living things. And he wanted to know where I was going. And I told him a little bit about March for Our Lives and why I was going. And I told him that I'm marching so that his school is safer, mm-hmm. so that, and also so that there's stricter gun laws, so it sounds easier for people to get guns. And without prompting him or anything, he's like, Donald Trump is poopy. I'm like, fuck yeah, kid. I wasn't gonna say that, but I was like, yes. And when his mom came home, she saw my poster, and I was like, oh, we learned a little bit about gun control rights today. And we were talking with him, and I just looked at him and I was like, you're the change, kid. Like, I'm going to do the best I can, and your parents are going to do the best they can. But I'm like, it's your generation that's going to be the ones that change the world.
Right. Well, I mean, I think, and a sign that I saw from a girl who was Gen Z, for sure, like the generation after us, for sure. And her sign said, we're doing this so the generation after us doesn't have to. Mm-hmm. So they're doing this so that hopefully his generation, this 5-year-old, is not going to have to do this.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's frustrated me a lot. So if you haven't noticed, we've pulled away from fourth wave. I think we hit the bullet points of it.
We did. But I think what we're talking about right now is it is so also fourth wave.
These are fourth wave. Yeah. This is part of the fourth wave, you know? But something that has frustrated me so much is seeing older generations on Facebook belittle these kids and treat them like...
Call them, what was it? Tragedy actors or whatever?
Crisis actors.
Yeah, fuck that.
They've been called names. They've been... And
someone called Emma Gonzalez a skinhead? I was like, excuse me?
A lesbian skinhead.
Oh, yeah. I hope you're a lesbian girl. Fucking represent. Well,
who like, cares what she
exactly.
is?
Exactly.
Like, that's the thing. It doesn't matter.
No. She is like, a hurt human being.
And you're using this as a derogatory term, which also just makes you look so stupid.
Yeah.
But, and I mean, and that was that was somebody who was running for office, so that's even worse. But yeah, these are...
Why would he think that would make him look any better? Well, why would someone who's running for office call a child?
Well, one, he was running unopposed. He's not anymore. Since his statements, a, like, 19-year-old girl, filled out her paperwork, or 20, young, filled out her paperwork to run against him.
So yes, I don't know that.
He is no longer running unopposed.
Love it.
But, you know,
I hope that 19-year-old wins.
He says it because I've been in the comment sections. He's not alone as far as being an older generation person demeaning, belittling these children who have gone through trauma.
I can't go to the comment sections.
And treating them, well... Sometimes I feel like I have to, because I'm like, it's easy for me living here in Los Angeles to close myself off and believe that people don't really believe this way.
Yeah.
And sometimes I need to expose myself to people of different worldviews to know, oh, no. Like, they are out there and they truly believe this.
Yeah. And see, for me, it's like one of those things that I immediately hear it in my mind. I don't even feel like I have to look it up. It's like every time I see something like that, my immediate reaction is like, what every troll will say.
Yeah, but I don't think... But I don't think they're trolls. Like, that's the thing.
Well, that's...
I think they believe it. Like, I think they truly believe these things. Like, that's the thing. They see these walkouts and they say, all these kids should be suspended.
Yeah.
All these kids should be taught a lesson. If they'd only gone up and talked to that kid who was being bullied, then...
That
makes me furious.
Yeah.
That makes me so furious. Because you are putting the onus on these children... to be responsible for the mental health of their classmates.
For the responsibility to not die, basically.
Yeah, basically. You're victim blaming these kids. Yeah. By saying, you didn't do enough. If you had only been nice to the shooter, then this would never have happened.
And that's not true. That's 100% not true.
No. Yeah. It's not true. There's no guarantee.
Yes. Be nice to people. Don't go out of your way to be a dick. You know what I mean?
Also, you can sense when something's wrong with somebody, and you shouldn't have to put yourself in a position to have to be uncomfortable.
No, that's being safe. If you see something about somebody that makes you feel uncomfortable, it's not your responsibility to...
It is your instinct to stay away from that person if you feel like they are unsafe.
Uh-huh.
And nobody should tell you that you should have to be friends with somebody who makes you scared.
No, and no one should tell you to be friends with anybody. You should be friends with who you want to be friends with. You know, don't be cruel, don't be mean, but you also don't need to associate with them.
Yeah, absolutely. I just thought that was the most ignorant.
Yeah, because it makes them, it's saying, oh, this shooting was your fault, you could have prevented this.
Right.
How fucked up is that?
Yeah, oh, I agree. But, okay, so we've talked Fourth Wave, we've talked gun violence, so let's chat a little bit about our experience today, a little bit more about our experience today at the march.
Let's do it.
So, I had a great time. I didn't look up the numbers. I was going to look up the numbers of how many people were there.
It's somewhere... let's keep talking, because I found it somewhere on Jezebel.
Okay, it's... there were so many people at the LA March today.
Yeah. I was shocked. At first, though, we were like, okay, this doesn't look like much.
But we got there early, and LA marchers are never on time.
No, so, this is LA.
Because we're like, whatever, we'll sleep in. So, we got there early, so there weren't a lot of people there when we got there, but... When we were leaving, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, like we could barely get through.
Yeah, there's so many people here. It was such a fantastic experience. I wish we had gotten to march for longer.
Marched for like 10 minutes.
Yeah, we marched from Pershing Square to City Hall, but it wasn't really very far.
No.
It was a very short march, but we spent the first hour listening to speakers, and they were all student speakers. And
They were either college students.
Yeah, high school students, but all student speakers, and there were student performers, and people performed their own poetry and spoken word, and it was just so powerful and refreshing and just made my heart sing for
it. It was so hard to tell Keegan though, like what your thoughts were, because I kept like looking over at you and I couldn't tell what you were thinking.
No, well, it was mostly because the woman in front of me was pissing me off.
Well, I just kept like, I'm a very vocal person. I really want to just be screaming at everything. But then I was like feeling this vibe where I'm like, is Keegan upset?
Oh, no. I was
like, oh, God.
I wasn't upset. I was annoyed with the woman in front of me because she was so entitled.
She was so annoying.
She was like, yeah, I don't want to like mar our talking about it with like talking about how annoying she was.
Of course
but
not.
I will touch on it because this is it. Because she was a middle-aged white woman who felt extremely entitled.
Yeah.
And the reason why she left, which thank God, was because she, a Latino boy walked through with a backpack and was just like, excuse me. And he was being assertive.
Yeah.
But to me, he wasn't being rude. He was just trying to get through.
No.
And she moves out of the way, he gets past her, and then she goes, be kind.
To the boy?
Mm-hmm. And he turns around and went, miss, I'm not being unkind, I'm being assertive.
Yes! Why didn't I see this?
And he was probably in high school.
Yes!
And so then he turns around and walks back up and walks up the stage. And then she spends the whole next time talking to her husband going, I don't know, I don't feel safe. He went to the stage taking pictures of him because I think she thought he was going to do something.
No! Yes, why did I see any of this?
And that's why they left is because she was like, I feel unsafe.
I saw her marching though.
Yeah, no, she marched with us, but she got out of the crowd because she was like, I don't feel safe anymore. And she was taking pictures of him.
Are you kidding me?
So if you saw me...
I hate that I have to ask this question. What was the race of this boy?
He's Latino.
That's right.
Yeah.
So she's being fucking racist.
I mean, to me, that's
her for sure being racist.
Because
for sure.
He wasn't being rude.
She's thinking about her little white grandkids somewhere.
Yeah.
Instead of thinking about the greater picture.
He was being assertive getting through. He wanted to get through. And he was being assertive, but to me, it wasn't rude. And
because it's not for us, guys.
Yeah. So if you were looking at me and I looked, like, annoyed, it was almost definitely because the woman in front of me was doing something that was pissing me off.
Yeah.
Like, because throughout the whole thing, she was doing shit that was pissing me off.
Yeah.
And she kept, like, she had really big hair, which, look, girl, I relate. But she kept, like, moving back, like, into my space.
Yeah.
And, like, hitting me with her hair. And I'm like, look, I get it. We're cramped in here like sardines, but be aware of your space.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Anyway.
Definitely.
So that's it. But I thoroughly enjoyed it. It wasn't that I wasn't enjoying it.
What were some of your highlights? I want to hear. And then I'll share my highlights.
My highlights... honestly, listening to the speakers while it was long and like,
but like, what were some of the speakers to you that like?
For me, I loved listening whenever all of the kids from Black Lives Matter came out. Oh my gosh, there was like a whole family, I'm guessing, because they all shared the same last name.
And there was an 8-year-old boy.
Yes, like ranging from like 17 to like 8.
Yeah.
And then a couple of other young people from Black Lives Matter. And they all came out and, you know, either said some poems or like this 11-year-old girl did like a call and response.
Oh, and it was the most, it was chilling. It was completely chilling.
Beautiful. And she was probably, like 10 or 11.
She was like 11, I think. And when she, it started with, you know, she's like, you have to call back with the same tone. So it started out when we were just
quiet.
Talking and then it got a little louder, and then she was, you know, like when you're yelling and you're like not supporting your voice. It was just that like, I'm gonna do everything I can to make my voice heard. I'm gonna make it as loud. And it was just so beautiful. She was just an angel.
She's definitely one of my highlights. And then
the woman who did the poem.
The woman who did the poem, who I put that on...
We have that on our Instagram
It's on
page.
Our story, and then it's on my personal Instagram.
I'm going to save it so we can maybe post it on our page.
Yeah.
Because if people don't see our Instagram story today, I don't want them to miss
out. Wish I'd recorded the whole thing. We only recorded it on the story, so it's only like 15 seconds.
But I hope that... Hopefully we can find some videos and attach that. That would be great. I'm sure there's videos somewhere of it.
Yeah.
What about, the songs we heard.
Yeah, like, there were so many original songs that were...
Gripping.
Oh, beautiful. And so talented. They're so talented. Like, such great, you know, singer musicians.
Yeah.
So that was really, really touching and moving.
Oh, and just very raw. Like, there was no, you know, there's metaphor in there, of course, but it was very, like, point blank stories that they were telling in their songs.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, let me sugarcoat this or like dumb this down.
Or drown it in metaphor.
Exactly.
Or whatever.
It was just very to the point. Like, there was the song about first the girl gets shot, what she feels, what she hears, and the boy gets shot, what he feels, what he hears. You know what I mean? And that to me was so and like, if I closed my eyes, I could like picture myself as being that person in her song, and like, it just,
and
like,
her voice was just beautiful,
just stunning.
And then we had Ray,
our love. Machio.
I was just like, this kid was like 18, and I was feeling like, I'm like, oh god, I'm 28, but I was like looking at this kid, and I was like, if I was a teenage girl right now, like that kid,
he had an earring.
He was exactly what I would have been like, oh my gosh, Ray, when I was like 18. He had like an earring and he had a leather jacket.
Yeah, he was still kind of awkward though. Like, he dressed cool, but he was still kind of awkward, and he was super cute.
His voice was
amazing.
My jam. Like, you know, like, I like a little nerd who's also kind of, like, cool.
And then Jonas with the California flag as a cape on him.
Yeah, he was...
What a gem.
He was just... He got out there and was just, like, loud, determined, powerful. Like,
well, because so many were, like, you know, there was the guy that spoke, and he had a lot of pauses, didn't speak as loud, which is fine, because I want their voices to be heard, too. And, like, I could hear other people talking. I'm like, shut up. Listen to this person. Maybe they're having a hard time. Like, listen to them.
Yeah.
But this kid...
Because it's a scary thing to do. There's a lot of people there.
It is scary. But this kid came out, and
guns a-blazing.
Oh, he had no care in the world what anybody thought of him. He was that kid in high school who you'd see with, like, the roller backpack running down the hallway with his Pokemon card album in his arm.
But you know what? That's a kid who knows who he is.
Yes!
Is unapologetic.
I loved him!
And this kid, I'm telling you, like, this kid's gonna run for office.
Jonas for president. Jonas for president. Yeah. Anthony's like, Jonas! And I'm like, Jonas! I'm like,
yeah. He's gonna run for office.
He was a boss. He was great. He was definitely one of my highlights because he was so unapologetically himself.
Yeah.
Came out guns a-blazing, no pun intended. And I was just like, you, sir, know what's up.
But I love, because, okay, March for Our Lives, the one in LA, and I think also the one in DC, is completely student-led.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that the speakers that they got, they really did try to cover all their bases. So
yeah.
they didn't just cover, you know, mass murders or mass shootings in schools. They also covered things like police violence uh-huh. and they covered things like black and brown kids being, uh-huh. you know, profiled. Oh, yeah. They covered, and this was probably who you were talking about, who came out. I could hear him a little bit, but he was very quiet. But, you know, they had a boy there who had mental health problems uh-huh. and he came out to talk about how this is not a mental health. It's not just about mental health.
Yeah.
And most shooters are not mentally ill. And most mentally ill people are more likely to be the victims of violence uh-huh. than to be the, you know, perpetrators of violence.
And did you hear that person yell, "Speak into the mic"?
Yeah, dude, he's doing the best. Like, that's the thing. I'm just like, these are kids. They're doing the best they can.
Even if you can't hear them, if you hear the crowd yelling, yell.
Be there just be there as support. Yep. Like, it's not about you.
Nope. And that's the thing that they really did try is they were like, this is about the kids. And this reminded me of the video that you put up or the GIF that you put up of the Riot Girls with like, man, be cool for once in your life and step back.
Yeah. It's adults, one of those be things, cool for once. Adults. Step back. It's
yeah,
not about
this
you.
Is not for you.
Mm-mm. Yeah. And it made me feel, and that's why, because, you know, they were like, who are the students in the audience? Raise your hand. And everyone applauded. And they were like, who are the adult allies? And we raised our hands, but I was also it felt wrong because I'm just like, of course we turned out. Like, of course we turned out.
We have our own cars. We have our own ways of getting here. Yeah.
You don't need to acknowledge that we're here. Like,
right. It's great. It's great that we're here, but also it's not
for us, you know? And so I was just like, please don't, like, yes, we're here and I'm happy to be here. My hand's up, but like, don't applaud us because it's just like,
oh, but I'm sure there were still egotistical people in the audience
who were like, thank you.
Know I do such good things.
I'm so selfless.
I know.
I'm spending my Saturday morning here.
I know. I could be sleeping and drinking mimosas at brunch, but I'm here.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but it was just a really, really great experience. I uh-huh. really hope that a lot of you managed to make it out. It really warmed my heart because I saw that even in Springfield, Missouri, which is my, you know, hometown, mm-hmm. small city, very small city, and even they had a march for our mm-hmm. lives, and people were, like, posting it, and it's not a ton of people. It's not LA.
Yeah.
But it still warmed my heart that they did it and that people turned out for it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that that's so important, and I hope that a lot of you were able to make it out to cities around you to support this cause, because I understand, and I'm going to say this here and I put it on my Facebook, but I am from Southern Missouri, or I've lived a lot of places, but that's home to me.
Yeah.
And I understand gun culture. I truly do. I understand how it can be embedded in your culture as part of who you are as a region and who you are as a people and how you identify. I understand it. I get it. I've shot guns for fun before.
I can't even do that.
I have fear. Because when it's part of your culture, you don't have that fear. It's part of, you know, you learn gun safety and it's part of your culture.
Yeah.
So I understand the appeal. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
I get that it's personal to you.
Right. But that doesn't take away your hobby should not be in exchange for children's lives.
Absolutely not. I would, you know, I don't need to shoot another gun again for the rest of my life if it means that all the children, you know, in our country can be safe.
Exactly.
So,
well, you just got me interested in looking up what Minnesota was up to. And they did have a march. They are estimated 18,000 marchers, which is great. And it was in St. Paul, down to the Capitol. And I think it's great. There was this woman named Beth Stockinger, who said, "I'm a mental health provider. The excuse of it being just about mental health is so wrong. It's about access." And I think that's great.
It is about access. And I think it's also something that really pisses me off about this mental health argument is you need to start looking at commonalities beyond mental health that these shooters have in common. And you know what? A lot of them are white.
And a lot of them have guns.
Well, they all have guns. But here's the thing. If you don't want to blame it on the gun, these are all white men who a lot of times are white supremacists
mm-hmm.
or racists
mm-hmm.
or hold other hateful views that are similar to that. So you're going to blame it on mental health. But I'm just like, why aren't we focusing in on the fact that a lot of these guys are white supremacists?
Yeah.
That's not a mental disorder.
Yeah.
You know, racism is not a mental disorder.
No.
It is a way
it's
of being.
It's just hatred.
It's just hatred. You need to address anger and hatred in our boys and in our white youth. Like, that's what you need to address.
Exactly. And I think it's great, too, there were Parkland students in Minnesota as well. I like that they spread out. Yeah. I think that's amazing.
Because we got a couple at ours, too.
Yeah, seeing it and knowing they were there, like, I started crying. I just couldn't. And when I saw that Columbine survivor there.
Yeah, and he sounds like he's got some trauma.
He couldn't even really say anything of real.
But he's probably been talking about it for 19 years.
Right. But also, it's one of those things where it's like, I don't think he can talk about it anymore. It's like, if you're constantly being asked to relive something so traumatic. And I was reading a bit about him afterwards because I've had a big interest in Columbine. I found out that somebody that I knew years ago was a Columbine student during the time. And just hearing that name for me was very emotional because of just, I mean, and I'm not even directly affected. It's the research I've done, you know? And he just seemed like one of those people that he didn't really sound as prepared. He didn't really sound as eloquent.
He was not terribly articulate now.
No.
Yeah.
But I see that as a person who has felt so much pain. He's in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
This moment has changed his life indefinitely.
Well, I don't mean this physically, although obviously, but I think he's damaged. Uh-huh. And I read...
You can't dig into the horrible things because then you'd have to keep reliving it all the time.
And, you know, I had read about, when I was doing research on gun violence, you know, Columbine was an interesting case because it was so new. Uh-huh. For us, like school shootings were such a new concept for us that I don't think we knew how to support our victims.
No,
we kind of threw them back into school, and a lot of people who were present at Columbine didn't even know they had PTSD until years later.
Yep,
because they weren't
given. A friend of mine was in eating disorder treatment.
Yeah, they didn't. They weren't.
You know?
They weren't given support like the kind of support that we now know you need to give victims.
Yeah. Yeah.
They weren't given that kind of support. So I think a lot of them are probably, you know, unless they sought support on their own, are probably pretty.
Which a lot of people don't think to do.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, but it was very powerful and moving, and we are coming up on an hour here, so we're probably going to wrap it up.
Yeah,
but
we got to wrap this shit
we
up.
We hope you had a wonderful Women's History Month.
Yes, thanks, you guys.
The last week.
And I'm so excited to touch on some
new topics.
Like non-historical stuff.
Yeah, I'm excited, too. It's
We're going to have some, like, more lighthearted stuff coming up. It's going to be great.
Yeah, it's going to be great. So hopefully we get our audio issues taken care of. I think I'm going to have to pay for audio service because Audacity is upsetting me.
Well, and I have to give a quick shout out to my good friend Josh Crone.
Oh, Josh.
Who donated a microphone to me.
I have to say, Josh is like one of the nicest people I've ever met in my life.
Ever. like he is someone that I met when I was 18 years old, first started school, saw me from being a weird little kid doing her first student film. He did, like, my first student film, I think, ever was with him.
Mm-hmm.
To dating his horrible roommate who ruined my life for a short period of time. To, like, supporting me now and having worked with you and being such an amazing friend.
He worked with me at WB for a while. And, not a while, but a little while.
What an angel.
The first time I ever spent... we're just gushing about Josh Corner. It's Josh Corner. but, like, the first time I ever spent time with Josh, we were at your ex-boyfriend's house, and we drank a lot of absinthe.
We did! It was nuts.
And I was out on the couch and, you know, don't remember a lot because I drank a lot of absinthe. But what I do remember is Josh was so concerned about me that he slept sitting upright in a chair all night to make sure that I was okay.
Yeah, and then offered you a shirt the next morning.
He didn't even know me.
Yeah, you know? Met like that night. No, he's that kind of guy, and he's the kind of male listener that we want and that we need.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, Josh, for donating to us and for believing in us and for just being an all-around great human being and a great man, and we love you so much.
We appreciate
much.
You very, so, very much.
Very much.
Yeah.
So, guys,
One last thing. Yes.
Yeah, my mom has been fucking on my ass about this shit. why aren't you telling people to rate and subscribe and blah, blah, blah? Mom, we're doing it, okay? Stop calling me about it. Guys, we need followers and viewers and subscribers and raters out there.
Yeah, so if you haven't done it already, if you just do us a favor, it takes, you know, 30 seconds max.
Like, literally, leave us 5 stars and be like, they're cool. Listen.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, if you don't mind, rate and subscribe and leave us a review and follow us. We're on social media. Our Instagram is Angry Neighborhood Feminist. Our Twitter, which I'm trying to get on more, is YANF Podcast, YANF Podcast. And we are on Facebook at Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist.
Yep. So. And the other thing that I would encourage, if there's a specific episode that you guys really like or connected with, if you want to share our episodes on Facebook, Instagram, any of those things, tell your friend about it. Send it to them.
Yeah, word of mouth.
Word of mouth is what we need, guys. This is something that we both love to do so much and want to do more of. And we need your help. We can't do it by ourselves. So,
and we want to keep the quality up, you know. And it's hard to do that whenever we, you know, we have got full-time jobs and we've got the equipment we have is the equipment we have and we have to use it. And so.
But we so appreciate those of you who have been like, committed to us.
Shout out to our listener or listeners in Somalia. I don't know who you are.
Somalian listeners, we fucking love you.
I don't know who you are, but someone in Somalia or some people in Somalia, in one city in Somalia, must have binged. Must have binged because they moved up the analytics in one day.
Yeah.
From not being on the analytics at all to being our third country.
Yeah.
So our analytics go United States, Canada,
and Somalia. Guys, Somalia, we love you.
Yeah, so kudos to Somalia.
And whoever is listening in Somalia, you're my favorite person.
Yeah, we love you very much. So with that, we encourage you to rage on. That was pretty good.
High fucking time, man. I gotta pee.